हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 71, chapter 80. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, "Therefore you should approach him, since it is not proper. I am afraid and ashamed. He is the shelter of saintly persons like you. Since he is the only shelter, it is not proper not to surrender to him because you are fearful." Right? So he's making the point that he's being the Supreme Lord. How can we just approach him and all that? I'd be ashamed. But he's saying that he is the Supreme Lord and the Lord of the Brahmins. How can you not surrender? He may give shelter to the saintly, but I am not saintly. But you are, and then the counter, but you have great fortune. Otherwise, how could you make friends with him? Right? So he's the friends of Krishna. How could he be Krishna's friend if he wasn't fortunate? Therefore, he will give you plenty of wealth when you ask him. Moreover, you are suffering from poverty and hunger, and you have a family. Thus, you are a proper object of his charity. Right? Because as a king, then they give charity, they take care of Brahmins, and so then it would work out. So you don't have to worry that he doesn't have money either. Being a king, he has money. So it's good. We're good. Sudama's wife continued, "Lord Krishna is now the ruler of the Bhojas, Vrishnis, and Andakas, and is staying at Dwarka. Since he gives even his own self to anyone who simply remembers his lotus feet, what doubt is there that he, the spiritual master of the universe, will bestow upon his sincere worshipper prosperity and material enjoyment, which are not even very desirable?" Right? So, in other words, the devotion to him, the prema for him, that's the most desirable. And so, then, if that is given, why wouldn't things that are less, why wouldn't they come along with that? It's not that they're a greater thing, harder to get. They're actually easier. So the material prosperity and facility, that's easier than getting prema. So if he's giving prema, why wouldn't those come along with it? So that's the point, is he's saying, you know, the qualifications and that. But because you have that devotion, you have that surrender, therefore then it'll all work.
His wife seemingly pushing him to get some wealth.
But that's just so that then they can do their service.
Exactly. That actually, she's explaining about the relationship.
Yes, yes. That's because that's her aspect is there. Is that, you know, otherwise, how does she take care and do all these different things? Means if that is her duty to do these things, how can she do her duty? So, because they're a family, then they're there for, they have the husband and this and that, and he, you know, as an occupation, he can beg. You know, as a Brahmin, he can do that. So therefore, she's just saying that if they all perform their duties in this way, then it'll all work out. Because the point is to be absorbed in Krishna, and while you perform its of your duties, you remember Krishna. That's what Krishna says in the Gita. So she's pointing out that there's no contradiction in what she's saying and what he wants to accomplish. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, "But he may be in Indraprastha, Dwarka, or some other place in order to kill the demons." And so then she says, "He has now given up his weapons and does not leave his city. He is only in Dwarka. He is lord of the Bhoja, Vrishnis, and Andakas. So by his permission, they will do his bidding." Right? So he's not using his weapons anymore. Like that, just like Balaram stopped, and then he stopped. Because then, you know, everything's arranged. But I am embarrassed to ask anything from him. Then she says, he gives himself to the person who just remembers him without asking for anything. The genitive case smartha stands for the dative case smartate, unto the person who remembers. What to speak of giving things desired by the devotee, which are actually tasteless for him because they are changeable. And moreover, he is benefactor of the universe. So it's not a matter of that getting these things is the problem, because the devotee doesn't have taste in material things anyway. So they're only of value in as much as they can be used in the Lord's service. So how much is necessary there? That's then what's necessary. Is that... Yeah. As well as by his desire, he gives things which are not prayed for, or to those who are desiring material things. Going to him and remaining silent, he will give you what you desire, plenty of wealth, and also what he desires to give, being your benefactor, the sweetness of his lotus feet. So that aspect of that relationship with Krishna and devotion, then that's what he wants to give, but it's not that these other things won't come also along with it. Is that... So even if you don't ask, he'll take care anyway, because kings are always charitable to Brahmins. Sugadeva Goswami continued, when his wife thus repeatedly implored him in various ways, the Brahmana thought to himself, to see Lord Krishna is indeed the greatest achievement of life. Thus he decided to go, but first he told her, my good wife, if there's anything in the house I can bring as a gift, please give it to me. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, Bhartya, or wife, means one whom the husband must support. He had to follow her words in order to maintain her. Right? So that's the point. She's simply pointing out what would be his dharmic duty to take care of her as the wife. So it's not that what she's saying is wrong or why she's saying this and that. She's simply pointing out that he has a duty to take care. And so here it's not as much about her benefit that she'll get, but her duties, which is benefiting the family. So she can't do her duties to benefit the family because she doesn't have the things to work with, so therefore she's not supported. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to take it in that light. Otherwise, don't switch it the other way. You know what I'm saying? So that. Yes.
The same opposite word is for husband, it is Bharta. Bharta means the master and the maintainer.
The master and the maintainer.
Told in a different way. Mm. One who tolerates or one who...
Oh, one who tolerates or one who is...
Actually, it is one who supports, but they use it. One who has to tolerate, one who is supposed
to. One has to support. Yeah, yeah, like that. But it's also, if you, how you say, another application is you take an eggplant, you know, that still has the top on it, and then you put it on the fire, and then with the top, then you slowly turn it until it gets nicely cooked. Then you mush it up, some spices, some mustard oil, or whatever you like to put. Then you also get the same thing. No? This is also known as bhartha. Yeah, so that means that it is the master, right? The word vipra here means one who fulfills someone's wish in a particular way. Viseshena pratikaman purayati. Right, so vipra, when you say someone's vipra, that means they know how to fulfill desires in a particular way. That means they know the shastra, they know how to apply it. That's the whole point. So it's not just he's a scholar. That's the problem in the dry context, is they have knowledge, but they actually don't know how to fulfill someone else's wish. They're too self-centered. They're too proud. So in other words, if you have knowledge and you're proud, you can't actually be vipra, technically. You know, it means because you can't actually apply that knowledge so that others are happy. Is that true? She implored him with many logical arguments. Bahu Shaha, and many times Muhu. Another version has Mridu. She implored him gently.
Right.
But it's not that it wasn't being done more time, but the point is even if it's many times, it's still gently. Because that's the whole point. Thinking that seeing the Lord was the greatest attainment, he decided to go. So that was the whole interest. He then said, verb should be supplied. There must be some gift in the house. Please give it. O auspicious wife, you have inspired me with the auspicious act of seeing the Lord. To avoid the fault of going empty-handed, he requests his wife for something to offer to the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Sudama's wife begged four handfuls of flat rice from neighboring brahmanas, tied up the rice in a torn piece of cloth, and gave it to her husband as a present for Lord Krishna. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, she begged from neighboring brahmanas because they were absorbed in the four goals of life for four types of liberation, chaturaha, or they lived in the four directions and she begged a handful of rice from each. She obtained that flat rice because that is what the wives of the brahmanas give her, because she was too weak from hunger to thresh the rice properly. Right? So then, you know, instead of giving the unhushed rice, you know, because then that you can keep. So by giving that, that's a long-term thing. Then they thresh it themselves as they need it. It's fresher, it's better. So they gave the flat rice because they could see she wouldn't be able to do that. She bound it up in a worn-out piece of cloth. She offered it to her husband as a gift so he would keep it tightly in his cloth. All this was done out of extreme poverty, not out of intention to display their destitute situation to the Lord. Right? It wasn't that, you know, you come in and you try to do that. It was a matter of making it look, how you say? This is actually a position, so that it's sincere. You know, so they were trying to get something nice for the Lord.
Threshing the rice takes the
husk off.
Oh, so flat rice has a husk still on.
No, flat rice has no husk, but it's also been flattened.
Oh.
So I guess they just figure, because that you can just use. Because if you're in such a poor condition or stuff like that, they may not have facility to cook either. Right. Otherwise, why do you look like that? So this, you can just soak it in water and eat it. So, you know, you get an immediate benefit. No expense, no effort.
But I'm just wondering how they take the spot.
You use a deki. It's a big, it's like a big tree trunk that's been carved square. And you put it on a pivot so it's out of balance. So one end is heavy and one end's light. I mean, one end is light, yeah. But it's such that just by pushing with your foot, you can get the other end to raise. But when you let go, it'll drop quite strong. And then they put another stick, big, you know, piece coming out of the heavy end. And that goes into a hole. So into that hole, you drop the unhusked rice. And then at the other end, you push on that with your foot. And then that hits the rice, and that then knocks the husk off. So it'll just only take off just the husk, that process. It'll also break some of the rice, but it'll just take off the husk. It won't take off more than that. So it actually gives the best flavor. It's the best for health. Like that. Nowadays, hardly anybody knows how to do it. We had before dekis and that ladies could do back in the 80s. We used to do it. The 90s even. But after that, then nowadays, I'm not sure if we can find people. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Taking the flat rice, the saintly Brahmin set off for Dwarka, all the while wondering, how will I be able to have Krishna's audience? Footnote 35. Among other things, Sudama assumed that the gatekeepers would stop him. The learned Brahmana, joined by some local Brahmanas, passed three guard stations and went through three gateways. Then he walked by the homes of Lord Krishna's faithful devotees, the Andakas and Vrishnis, which ordinarily no one could do. He then entered one of the opulent palaces belonging to Lord Hari's 16,000 queens. And when he did so, he felt as if he were attaining the bliss of liberation. Right? So only brahmanas could walk through these places. Others would be stopped by the guards. You know, even if it was respectful, you know, a respectful person is coming, they would still stop there. Then they would go and announce. Then they would come and bring them. But Brahmins, then they'll let them through. The BBT purport states, when the saintly Brahmana entered the precincts of Lord Krishna's palaces, and then actually entered one of the palaces, he completely forgot everything else. And thus, his state of mind is compared to that of one who has just achieved the bliss of spiritual liberation. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti quotes from the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, wherein we learn that the Brahmana actually entered the palace of Rukmini. Sa tu Rukmin Yanta Pura Dvari Shanam Tushnim Sitaha. He stood for a moment in silence at the doorway of King Rukmini's palace. Forgetting everything else for a short time, he remained as if merged in the happiness of Brahman. And so he's off the material platform. There's no material miseries here. So therefore he's very happy. Right? Now it'll get better because now he'll interact with the Lord himself. Verses 18 to 45. The Lord happily receives Sudama and personally worships him. Sukadev Goswami continued, at that time Lord Achyuta was seated on his consort's bed. Spotting the Brahmana at some distance, the Lord stood up, went forward to meet him, and with great pleasure embraced him. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains, Krishna, Achyutaha, did not deviate from friendship, however it had originated, because of his proper behavior and qualities, even though he was seated on his consort's bed. Right? Because he could just say, you know, we don't want to be bothered, or this or that, or like Drupad did with Drona, that I'm a great king and you're just a poor Brahmin, where how are we equal? But we see Krishna immediately thought, we were friends in the Gurukul, so we're still friends. So the equality is that we went to school together. Right? While Drona was thinking, Drupa was thinking, I'm a big king. So he had forgotten the relationship they had in the school. So that wasn't the common point. So it's just a matter of you maintain the common point, then the relationship maintains. So Krishna never deviates from friendship. It's been established, so no matter how it's established, he'll maintain that. So you can see he's the best friend.
And probably Maharaj, it's a lot of time between Gurukul and now. Was then many years, probably.
Yes. Yes, yes. Because we see is that this is, it's already mentioned about the war.
Yes.
So whether this is after the war or before, but it's definitely been some time.
Yes. And there is no example where they meet before.
No, there's no example that they're meeting in between. No. Yeah, so the point is that whatever the friendship, however it's established, it will remain like that. It can be cultivated and developed, but it won't be that it will lessen from what it was. So that's why we see is that Krishna is the only one who's the friend of all living entities. Is even for us, the mood of the friend changes or the situation changes, we may not maintain that friendship. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
So that's why once we surrender to Krishna, even so many things may happen in between, but Krishna never forgets that.
He never forgets that surrender. So he'll just act in a way to maintain that relationship. Right? So in other words, if we've forgotten about the surrender, he will deal in such a way that we remember it. Yeah. The meaning is the same. The Lord saw clearly him from a distance, even when Sridham was far off. Seeing him, he rose in confusion quickly, went forward and joyfully, firmly embraced him with outstretched arms all over his body. Wow, this needs some editing. outstretched arms all over his body, meaning he embraced him all over his body, or at least he had arms all over his body that were outstretched. And, yes. So that would be a serious hug, right? You know, Krishna with 10 arms. And, yeah. Hmm? Yeah, an octopus hug. Yeah.
Brahmana was very skinny.
Huh? Brahmana said was very skinny. Yes, it wraps them all up. Yeah, they come, yay, octopus hug. Yeah. Sukadev Goswami continued, Lotus-eyed Supreme Lord felt intense ecstasy upon touching the body of his dear friend, the wise Brahmana. And thus he shed tears of love. Lord Krishna seated his friend Sudama upon the bed. Then the Lord, who purifies the whole world, personally offered him various tokens of respect and washed his feet. O King, after which he sprinkled the water on his own head. He anointed him with divinely fragrant sandalwood, aguru, and kunkuma paste, and happily worshipped him with aromatic incense and arrays of lamps. After finally offering him betel nut and the gift of a cow, he welcomed him with pleasing words. By fanning him with her chamara, the divine goddess of fortune personally served that poor Brahmana, whose clothing was torn and dirty, and was so thin that veins were visible all over his body. Srila Jiva Goswami comments, since he had worn out clothing, Krishna also gave him new clothes. The reason is revealed later. His body was discolored because of suffering from cold. From the description of his condition, it was not proper for Rukmini to worship him. The descriptive elements are in order of increasing intensity. So poor is that, then clothing was torn is more, dirty is more, than thin is more than that. Still, she worshipped him, though she was directly the queen of Krishna. This shows her affection for Brahmanas. Sukadev Goswami continued. Right, so, in other words, Brahmanas, that they may be, the goddess of fortune may be affectionate to Brahmanas, but it's still because of the curse that it's not necessarily that they get anything. But when they're devotees, then they're using those things in Krishna's service, then it's not a problem. Right? So in other words, they're getting it because they're devotees, not because they're Brahmins. Sukadeva Goswami continued, the people in the royal palace were astonished to see Krishna, the Lord of spotless glory, so lovingly honor this shabbily dressed Brahmana. The residents of the palace said, what pious acts has this unkept, impoverished Brahmana performed? People regard him as lowly and contemptible. Yet the spiritual master of the three worlds, the abode of Goddess Shri, is serving him reverently. Leaving the Goddess of Fortune sitting on her bed, the Lord has embraced this Brahman as if he were an older brother. Sukadev Goswami continued, taking each other's hands, O Krishna, Krishna and Sudama talk pleasantly about how they once lived together in the school of their guru. The Supreme Lord said, my dear Brahmana, you know well the ways of Dharma. After you offered the gift of remuneration to your guru and returned home from his school, did you marry a compatible wife or not? But so it means following the Dharmas, they've been educated, but now he's going to leave the Gurukul, graduate, so then the graduation ceremony, then there's a remuneration at that time. If they just live in the ashram, they don't graduate, then there's no need of a remuneration. Right? But he did. And so then after that, then they may travel or do further studies, but then they'll get married. The point of graduating is to get married. If someone's not going to get married, they don't graduate. It's that simple. So they don't graduate, though they finish the study, that's called naistika. Right? But if they finish the study, then they graduate, that's an upakurvana, brahmachari. So the upakurvana, then he becomes a snatak, and then he gets married. Right? So then he's asking here, is that after doing that, did you marry a compatible wife or not? Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, these instructions given by Lord Krishna while talking with his friend, the learned brahmana, are very good for the guidance of human society. A system of human civilization that does not promote varna and ashram is nothing but a polished animal society. So here we notice we're not saying that the modern civilization is not polished, you know, or at least aspects of it.
Yes.
We're just saying it's still an animal society, it's just polished.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. So, yeah. Indulgence in sex life by a man or woman living single is never acceptable in human society. A man should strictly follow the principles of brahmachari life, or, with the permission of the spiritual master, should get married. Single life with illicit sex is animal life, but the animals have no such institution as marriage. They don't, you know, you might have some, you know, element of de facto, you know, for a temporary or a lifelong point, but they don't really have a system of marriage. So the maximum they get is, you know, this just that mutual acceptance. But even that, there's no ritual. Modern society does not aim at fulfilling the mission of human life, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. To fulfill this mission, the system of varna and ashram must be followed. You can see here is that the principle is that it must be followed. It's not that it's an option, you could follow, it would be nice, but it doesn't really matter because we're devotees and we chant Hare Krishna, we don't need the rules and all. No, he says it must be followed. When the system is followed rigidly and consciously, it fulfills this mission. But when followed indirectly, without the guidance of superior authority, means like the modern culture, they're still following Varnashram, but it's indirectly and it's without proper authority, so it's not scientific. Right? It simply creates a disturbing condition in human society, and there's no peace and prosperity. You know, it's just how I say. So there's a concept in the modern of student life, right? And if a student is not involved, you know, between boys and girls, no one will really say it's wrong. You know, they just might think the person is not very, how I say. Yeah, socially developing. Right? So that's what we mean, is that this idea is that they're students, but they're not celibate. It's not scientific. Right? And then if, let's say, you get married while in student life, people will generally think that that's not standard. It means it could happen, but it's not really standard. You know, you'd finish your education, then after graduating, then you get married. So we see it's there, but then they don't follow these. It's not scientific how it works. So that's why Varnashram must be followed, because you can say, so we don't need to follow. You're following it anyway, but in an unscientific, impractical way. Because we see it's, okay, the following. Now you have high school. High school is famous, you know, at least the modern high schools, for being absolutely crazy. You know, they're just insane. So what's one of the main insane elements of it? That they're not celibate. That's what causes all the trouble. You know, they don't have sadhana, they don't have, you know, there's no control of the senses, there's no menial service attitude, so all the things that a student should be doing, they're not doing. Though they're supposed to be studying, so the effectiveness of the study is so much less. And the crazy factor is increased so much.
Right. Nowadays we have this, people, they are following four regs, but not getting married.
Following four regs, but not getting married. But making lots of money. Right? Yeah. They've got to do something. Right? Yeah.
Is there a scripture saying what reactions they have?
Any reactions that they have. There means they're not married. There just means they're unmarried grihasthas. You know, a bachelor, because when we say bachelor, because a brahmachari is one thing, a bachelor is another thing. In the modern, they'll consider brahmacharis or bachelors, meaning that they're unmarried, right? So from that context, they are. But what's the difference between a brahmachari and a bachelor? A brahmachari is not open to the idea of marriage, not during at least the term of his brahmacharya. But a bachelor is. They just haven't found anyone or don't want to commit to it. They like the idea, they like being around women, but they just don't want to take the responsibility. So, by mentality, they're a grihastha. It's their house, it's their money, it's their work, they just don't have a wife to share it with. So then, the aspects of what desires to be fulfilled in family life won't be fulfilled as a bachelor. like that. So certain things are easy, right? You know, it means the money is there, how he wants to spend it. It's easy. He can buy everything he wants. So like, in fact, you know, give him a couple of years, he's bought everything he could ever buy, you know, like that. Maybe a couple of things can be changed now and again, like the car or something. But, you know, he's saying, but that's it. But who's to share with? Who to, you know, all these different things. That aspect is not there. And it's like, how you say, your Lamborghini does not keep you warm at night. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that it's not going to work. Is that what it means? Yeah, so like that, yeah. They don't have those automatic heated what do you call it? Seats like a Mercedes does or that, so yeah. So Toyota has, yes. So there are grihasthas that aren't married. This idea is, oh, I'm not a grihastha, I'm free. No, you still have the obligations. You still have to take care of your parents, you know, all these different things, and be responsible in society, dress properly, behave properly. So that's what we say, the modern is not scientific. Now, basically, they do whatever they want, they're crazy and everything like that. You know, I remember seeing one bachelor, and he had built an apartment. Small, you know, but an apartment. And he couldn't figure out why. I mean, and you know, as a devotee, then he would invite, you know, sometimes grihasthas, you know, over to his house, and he couldn't understand why the women were uncomfortable in his house. Like, he couldn't understand that, you know, glass ceilings and, you know, glass walls on bathrooms weren't actually very women compatible. And even the other ones that come and visit, you know, that weren't married, they still didn't like it anyway. Like that. And he was thinking, what's wrong? It's nice. It's airy. The light moves around. And, you know, he had all these kind of ideas. So that's the whole point, is that it's expected that he still has to follow the rules that govern grihastha life, just he doesn't have a wife. So those things that you have to do with a wife, he can't do. You know, yajnas and things like that. So as a bachelor, he technically can't do any of these karmakanda or any of these kind of yajnas. Like that. Does that make sense? Worship, deity worship yajnas, yes, but he can't do these other things.
The Prabhupada says that the modern society is not aiming at the real mission.
Yes, yes.
Just to go back to God. So many times, like in the current society, because this principle is not there, so even we try to explain any other thing which is good, like on a cultural note, sometimes it becomes very difficult for people to accept, because their aim is only sense gratification, and like for them, anything which is giving immediate benefit is always their first option to.
Yeah, but then you have to point out. Then you have to give examples that show about someone who works on more long-term benefits is more intelligent than the short-term. Okay, he did something and he gets a turnover in 6 months and all that, but someone else is doing, has, you know, 20-year project. Right? In other words, that when you have the newspaper and they have those full-page or multiple-page ads, you know, all nicely done and all that, those business ads, who's doing that? The guy with the 6 month plan or the guy with the 20-year plan? Yeah. So that's the point, is that, yeah, you can say all this, but what about long? So just as there. So then these people are so opulent. What about Indra and all that? They're more. Why? Because they restricted this life, they got that. So the principle is that it's intelligent. You can use your intelligence to get a higher thing. You can say, I can do this and get immediate, but isn't that going the opposite way? Isn't that less intelligent? It seems like it, just like kids. You know? It's just like, you know, you get the stool, you drag it over to the counter, you climb up on it, you steal a cookie. You know, it gives immediate benefit and all that, but then when mommy comes home and figures out you're stealing the cookies, it doesn't actually work out so great. Is that what it means? Yeah. So it's just a matter they have to understand. And even they're getting this, are they really satisfied? And if they are, and they're totally convinced they are, then move on to the next person, because they're a muda, and they won't understand at this point. So you know, it'll take him a while to figure out that that carrot actually never gets any closer. Yeah, so it's just a matter of then don't bother. You'll find someone else. But if it's a matter of they do agree, is okay, they, it's supposed to make you happy, you want to be happy, but you're not quite happy, then you have something to work on. You know, because that's because the soul can't be happy with these things. So when we say varnashram, we're not worried about the conditioned nature. We're worried about that the soul being in a conditioned nature, then this varnashram is the method how they can engage in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? So for us, it's simply how to keep the conditioned nature engaged. Because it needs to be maintained. Varnashram maintains the body. And so if we say we're not interested in maintenance, that's kind of like, really? If you're like Sudama Brahman and you're saying we don't need varnashram and all that, you know, that okay, I'll buy it. But if we're not like him, or not like, you know, Narad Muni, or even better, Parvati Muni, right? He doesn't even wear clothes. Right? So then, you know, the Python Sadhu, then they want to say this, okay. But they still follow varnashram. They just follow just only how much. In other words, the idea is that if you want to deal with it less, then control your senses and situate yourself in a more renounced position where you have to deal with less. But the point is whether you're dealing with more or less, it doesn't matter if it's connected to Krishna. So it's not that Yudhishthira's position or Sudama Brahma's position is any different, because whatever it is, they see it in connection to the Lord. So that's why Yudhishthira can be as the emperor, or can be in the forest with nothing. And they're fine. Because it's about the Lord. So that's the real thing. But you engage you maintain the body, engage it according to its nature.
I was thinking that at this point Sudama approaches Krishna, but his motive is still a bit mixed. It's not pure unalloyed. He thinks, I wanna go to see the Lord. But then also, it's by the push of his wife, he's going...
No, but what's the push of his wife here? The push is actually, it's his duty.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, he should do his duties to please Krishna. And so then, this aspect, because this goes together, he can see Krishna and he can and perform his duty. So it's Rat Deka Koma Deka. You know, he gets to see the Roth and sell his bananas.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's motivated here, it's just a matter of, because he sees it all in connection with Krishna. Motivated means there's some aspect you don't see connected to Krishna. So mixed devotional service means there's aspects of pure and aspects that are not.
Right.
You know, so let's say we're accepting it because Shastra says, Guru says, it's pleasing to Krishna, we've accepted, but at the same time as all the benefits we want. Then it's mixed. Mm-hmm. But here it's not, he wants the benefits, but having nothing, he engages that position in Krishna service, or having something, he'll engage that in Krishna service. So for him, it doesn't really matter. He doesn't see, he's not so worried about it. It's not necessary for him. But because his wife can't perform her duties and all that, then he will do it, because it's his business to see that she has the facility to engage in Krishna service. So according to her nature, she's very well matched, because he said, did you marry a compatible wife or not? She's very well matched, because she can live that lifestyle, but it gets to the point where it's beyond where now she can't perform her duties. Like that. And he's not performing his, because he's not providing her with the facilities to perform hers.
Yeah.
So at that point, now it's dropped below. So to live at this level, then they should be vanaprasthas. Or they should be, you know, because then they just fast, they don't worry about it. Or he should be a sannyasi. Like that. So that, you know, there's a minimal that as a grihastha, they have to be able to take care of. Like the Pandavas, they said, just give us 5 villages. You know, that would be the minimum, that then they can perform their kshatriya duties. Like that. So,
yes. So it looks like they probably don't have children. Because like, I mean, the children, you would think they would be taking care of them. You know.
Maybe not. It doesn't mention the children. It's never brought up. But you could you could think that. But the point is that everybody has to be able to be properly taken care of. The properly means that's simple according to their nature. They're Brahmins, they'll live very simple. So they have just a little bit of things, and for them that works. Now if they were Vaishyas, then that wouldn't work. Vaishyas are supposed to generate money, so they can't live like this. They may be trying not to, and they end up like this because the business failed, or this or that, or the partner, you know, did something. But then they'll just start again and move forward. You know, Kshatriyas have to have facility, otherwise how do you maintain the kingdom? But Brahmins, then they don't have to, they only have to keep how much is necessary. Like if he does yajnas, he has to keep facility to do the yajnas. But if he wants to live a simple lifestyle, he won't do yajnas. Does that make sense? You know, you have deities, you have to take care. You don't want to have all that kind of difficult, then don't keep deities. You know, and if you don't want to take up this thing of grihastha life, then don't get married. Just remain a brahmachari. Don't graduate. But he graduated to get married, so therefore his wife has brought up this point of religion. It has to be followed. So she's pointing it out, but all in connection with Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So it's not that. So she's talking sad-dharma. So the form of it is dharma, but it's connected to Krishna, so it's sad-dharma. And he's seeing it in that connection of sad-dharma, and so therefore then he's inspired to go.
I was a little bit reflecting on what Prabhu was saying about the bachelors. So is it like they are actually taking the same positions as women who are not protected? Is it like on the same level?
Are they women who are not protected? Not exactly. Because the masculine, they do have that independent nature, but it just means is that why would you do that? Because there's desires to be fulfilled. Because, you know what I'm saying? Because the quality of things aren't going to be that great. You know, you're going to dress up, but you think you're dressed up nicely. But unless women think you're dressed up nicely, you're not dressed up nicely. You know, and that's the whole point of the bachelor, is he needs some domestication. Because he does stuff that he thinks is cool and his friends think are cool, but women don't think are cool. But there's potential, right? In other words, if he's wearing, something outrageous, like a purple velvet suit or something like that, okay. But, you know, that costs money. There's something there. It matches. At least the coat and pants match. And the shoe, you know, it kind of matches. But purple? You know, let's get real here. You know, so therefore then, they're going to make an adjustment that it brings it into something that would be more, that women would appreciate. You know what I'm saying?
So at least there is the...
So there's, in other words, it's a symptom of potential,
yes.
But it's not the standard. Mm.
So he's taking an independent position, actually.
He's taking an independent position, so you're not really functioning within the system properly. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to get all the benefits of the grihastha ashram without the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So it's childish. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the problem.
Many years ago, Maharaj, we were saying this is the fifth ashram.
The fifth ashram?
in Europe.
It's actually four and a half.
Yes.
You know, they're thinking that, no, okay, yeah, it's a fifth ashram. Yeah, no, it's not. It's a half an ashram. Because you're not really getting a full benefit of any of the ashrams. Because you're not married, but you're not getting the benefits of being celibate and being a student. You know, because, you know, you're just doing that because you have to work and do all those things. Mm-hmm. Same time you're working and doing all these things, you're not getting the benefit of family life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Somebody calls them bhikkhuchari.
Bhikkhuchari. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Bhikkhuchari. Yeah. When the system is followed rigidly and consciously, it fulfills this mission. But when followed indirectly, without the guidance of proper superior authority, it simply creates a disturbing condition in human society, and there's no peace or prosperity. So people want peace, but they can't get it unless they follow the Vedic system. Right? And even that will just be material peace.
Yes.
Spiritual peace comes from engaging this as a soul in devotional service. Right? When you understand Krishna is the controller, he's the enjoyer, he's the friend, then you can actually get peace. But as long as we're trying to be any of those three, then it'll be a disturbing condition and there'll be no peace and prosperity. The Lord continued, even though you are mostly involved in household affairs, your mind is not affected by material desires. Nor, O learned one, do you take much pleasure in the pursuit of material wealth. This I am well aware of. So in other words, his position of being a very nicely situated Brahmin as a devotee, not much involved in material energy, Krishna knows all that. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, even though you are not speaking out of embarrassment, I know everything. With that intention, he speaks this verse. Though you are a householder, your heart is not disturbed by lust. I know, O wise one, Vidvan, that, knowing the temporary nature of material enjoyment, you have little attraction for wealth, clothing, and other things. Therefore, I will not give these things now. The words praya, almost not, and ati, not too attached, indicate if you are attached only because of the request of your wife, I will give these things later. Just see, this man, though a householder, is without desires and does not desire anything from others. Even if forcibly given, he will not accept things. To broadcast his fame in Dwarka, I will not reveal his desire to anyone, and therefore will not give anything visible to him here. Right? Because he'll come in as a very renounced Brahmin, he'll leave as one. And so everyone will be amazed at the fortune of this great person. Because otherwise, if he gives them something, then people, oh, he came for the money. You know, so it looked like he was very renounced and everything, and very elevated, but actually he wasn't. So Krishna is going to leave it that way.
He gave him a cow, right?
Yeah, but that's just part of the process. You know, he's not going to. I mean, because for Krishna, giving a Brahmin just a cow, that's not. You know, it's nice, but it's not a.
Nobody comes from that
part
except for 1 pound.
Yes, yes. That far, and you go to the, you know, to such a great personality.
Even if Kolava Sridhar Mahaprabhu says, I will reveal what opulence you have to everyone. You have a lot of opulence. Mahaprabhu always saying,
I'll reveal your opulence. Yeah, he has all those banana flowers there. He has an iron pot full of water. Yeah, no, it's just the Lord, because it's about the relationship. So that point and that relationship and that maintains. So that will be there. But because his wife is pushing for that service, he'll give. But in such a way that the wife is receiving that. Mm. Right? Because she wanted the facility, so then she'll have the facility.
Okay. Well, you think that for Krishna, it is always about relationship.
It's always about. There is nothing else. Because anything else, the great opulence, the great power, that he has all that. But these are all impersonal qualities. It's the relationship that's personal. But if you say someone's rich, that's impersonal.
Yes.
That's the whole point, is that all these qualities that we will see as outstanding are impersonal qualities. When they're applied, you know, with that wealth he gives in charity, even though rich he gives in charity, he does all these things, then you're talking about the person.
Yes.
But otherwise, you talk about he's rich, you're talking about the situation he's in. Mm-hmm. But if he's giving in charity or using it for good things, doing yajnas, then that's an application. Does that make sense? So there's a difference, yes.
Right, so can we say that in general there are two categories? One is relationship based on position, and one is relationship based on affection.
And then within that, then we have, you know, subgroups and like that.
Yes, yes, you could say. Because that's the thing, is first we're learning that our position is subservient to Krishna.
Right.
But the goal is love of God.
Yes.
So, you do have that you are a servant, but it doesn't mean that you necessarily have the understanding or the drive to do it, act in such a way to please Krishna. That has to be then... That has to be then learned from those who have that, because by knowledge we can know who we are, what our position is. But it's only by association that then we can act within that position and develop that love for Krishna. So you know, it's just like money comes from money. So same way bhakti comes from bhakti.
Right.
So those with bhakti, then we associate with them, we get bhakti. The Lord continued, having renounced all material prosperity propensities which spring from the Lord's illusory energy, some people execute worldly duties with their minds undisturbed by mundane desires. They act as I do to instruct the general populace. My dear Brahman, So, having renounced all material propensities, some people execute worldly duties with their minds undisturbed by material mundane desires. So, it doesn't mean that they don't interact with the facilities they have in their duties. The difference is they have no material propensities. So, they're undisturbed by material desires, right? If I have no mundane propensities, where will the desire come from? Right? The propensity is that I could work with that field. The desire is specific within that. So, you know, it's just like, let's say, it's a fast day and we're committed to fasting. So even if we're dealing with the boga or the prasad, there's because there's no propensity towards eating, therefore there'll be no desire to eat. Even if we're there with, so therefore we can bring cook the boga, we can take it in, we can offer it, we can take out the prasad, we can put it wherever it's supposed to go, you know, like that, or even feed people who are supposed to eat, you know, the kids are there, you feed the kids, or, you know, something you do. So, the point is that the material propensity is the generic idea to control and enjoy material energy. So if you don't have that, you don't have material desire. Because desire is specific. You know, in this context, sometimes they desire, that's general, and then the need is specific. But, you know.
Maharshi says this is the level of Atmarama.
Atmarama, yes. Yes. But for, yes, Atmarama, in that case we just say the generic, just that they don't have anything there. But as devotees, then we would refer to it as Brahma-Bhuta. Because then they are above the material, but they're situated in devotion to the Lord. So that's more specific to devotees. Well, Atmarama is the Lord, the devotees, the saintly persons, like that.
Yes. Sometimes we hear that devotees are unaffected by material desires, and sometimes there's another definition. It is said that they're able to tolerate. So what would be the difference? Actually,
The one would be a step towards the other one.
Uh-huh.
Because natural is that as your heart becomes purified, then there's that combination of no interest, but at the same time tolerating, because there's maybe some little bit of interest left.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see with that, is it Maharaj Kulashekar?
Yes.
Whenever he thinks of sex life, then he spits at the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Yamunacharya. Somehow we go get them all mixed up. And so then because the mind just brings these things up. That's what the mind does. The mind just accepts and rejects things, so it brings up stuff, using the intelligence to tell the difference. But when it comes up, then there's no interest. So it's not that things don't come up, it's just that they're not interested in when they do come up. Then if you're so absorbed, but if the taste is more there in in just absorbing in the Lord, then they won't come up. But it still is that you're engaging the senses and the sense objects. But if there's no propensity for material enjoyment, you don't see any of these senses, sense objects or engagement of the senses separate from Krishna. You see them all how it's going to please Krishna. Right? You know, it's just like the gopis. They decorate themselves nicely, not thinking that, wow, don't I look good. They're thinking that Krishna will be pleased by seeing the feminine beauty. So, therefore, there's no... So in the beginning, it may be there may be the element of tolerance. But as one goes, then it's not dependent on tolerance because there's just no interest. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, let's say, you're walking down the street in Calcutta. Okay? And you see, and you're walking by the local place where garbage is, right? And you see one of those guys coming with those little trolleys with the two wheels on the side and the two handles like that, and he comes up there and he dumps out his trolley there. Is there a moment there when you think, hey, let's go check out what he just dumped out? No, but all the crows, the dogs, the cows, everybody's, they're all coming to check that out. And, you know, they're all over the garbage place, but when the new stuff comes, everybody comes in to check that out. Right? Because the rest of it's just garbage, right? You know, so they want to see something new. Right? So you don't have it, so it's like that. You get so absorbed in Krishna that there is no propensity. Like that. But where there may still be some, but by intelligence you know it's not, and you're committed to that, the mind accepted, then that's tolerance. So that's why accepting intelligence is important, because there are times when the mind would rather not, but the mind, is if it accepts, it's the intelligent thing to do, it does it. But if it's just a matter of, no, just what the mind thinks, then the problem is the mind can think all kinds of weirdo stuff. I mean, yeah, it gets weird. My dear Brahma, okay, so he's pointed out that he's like that. Then he brings to now the relationship. First he talked about his position, now the relationship. My dear Brahmana, do you remember how we lived together in our spiritual master's school? When a twice-born student has learned from his guru all that is to be learned, he can enjoy spiritual life, which lies beyond all ignorance. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. In his mind, Sudama was doubting. Because he worships me in this way, though I am so low, is he doing this because he thinks I am someone else? Right, yeah. That's so funny. In order to dispel this doubt, Krishna then makes him recall their school days together in 12 verses. You remember our living at the Gurukul, by which, gaining knowledge of God, the Brahmana crosses over the material world. So now he knows, okay, then he knows who I am. But otherwise,
This could be called Dainya. What do you have, like extreme humility?
Yeah. Okay. Because it's because we're not anything anyway, but it's just in the situation. You're, as a servant of Krishna, doing these things. You have this facility, you have this ability, you use it in Krishna's service, so there's that confidence that it functions and it works, because it is Krishna, it's by Krishna, it's for Krishna. You're just taking part as the instrument. Right? He's the subject, and then, you know, the devotees are the object. And you're just an instrument in making that work. So you can have confidence in that. Like you see, Hanuman had confidence because it's all Lord Ramachandra's desire. So he has that confidence. But at the same time, if you look at it yourself, then you're, you know, not anything special. So, you know, so both can be there. So it's not what is that? Were they? Well, you don't feel confident. You know, you lack confidence.
Low
self-esteem. It's not that. It's just factual. Is that I'm just a jiva. And I'm not that great. It means everything else is bigger than us. We're the, when it says Krishna's smaller than the smallest, we're the smallest. And we can't even get too proud of that, because Krishna can be smaller than that. He enters into the heart of the living entity, which is 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. So therefore, then,
well, when he thinks, maybe Krishna's talking about somebody else, that's pretty extreme.
Yeah, but it's just that, you know, because why would Krishna, you know, the Supreme Lord, deal with him this way? But then Krishna reminds them, then we went to the Gurukul together, we did things together and all that, so it's not a problem. But, yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura.